Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at
Hey there, welcome to Geek This. My name is Dave Clements, and with me as always is my co-host, David Hunt.
Hello, everyone.
If you are new to the show, we talk about literally so much pop culture, but we focus on movies and TV, and we dabble in comic books and video games. So welcome to the show, and we hope you enjoy the episode. We're going to be talking about Marvel's X-Men 97 that actually just premiered yesterday as of our recording, and we'll talk about some other things.
Before we jump into X-Men, why don't we talk about what we've been geeking lately? I'll go ahead and start, and a big thing that I've been doing lately is I've been playing Final Fantasy VII's prequel. So it was originally a game that came out on the PSP, I believe, that they remastered into the same type of play that the Final Fantasy VII remake has. They did it in that style. I think it's called Crisis Core. But yeah, it's a really good game. Have you played any of the Final Fantasy VII games, Dave?
I have not played any of them. I've played, so I guess I can't say I've never played any of them. I think I remember playing one of them back on the PlayStation 1, ages ago. So, I don't know. RPGs like that have never really been my thing. I don't have a soft spot for turn-based combat.
I grew up playing the Final Fantasy games when I was in middle school. I think my first one was actually 9, and then I went back and played 7 and 8 before jumping into 10, which 7, 8, and 9 were on the PlayStation 1, and then 10 was the first one on PlayStation 2.
Yeah, I never really got into those. I think the remake that came out a couple years ago, I think I played maybe a half hour of it, but it still was just not my jam. I would love to love them, but there's so much I would love to love.
Well, if you ever have some downtime and you want to give it another chance, I think it's a great game. If you play the original 7, I think it definitely gives you more of an appreciation for the remake, because there are a lot of similarities, obviously, but then there are some slight differences. And by the end of the game, there's some huge changes and plot details and stuff that I think I haven't played they just released the sequel to remake and I haven't played it yet, but yeah, give it a shot. If you ever, feel like trying an RPG game. What the remake isn't a turn-based game like the original one was. There's more of action combat to it. So I don't know how much of remake you played. Well, what consoles do you have?
I have your Series Xbox S. Series S. I have a PS4, a Nintendo Switch, and then I have a Windows laptop that I play some Steam games, but not a lot. I think that's all my consoles.
I think I have the remake for PS4. I know I have it for PS5, but I think I first bought it for PS4. So I can loan it to you if you're ever interested.
Yeah, I might take you up on that at some point. I gotta find more time to play games. That's the big thing. Yeah.
Me too.
We're old dads now. With crazy kids.
Well, Dave, so that's what I've been geeking, is that Final Fantasy VII game. What have you been geeking?
So I'm going to go really kind of off left field with what I've been geeking about this week. There's a band that I absolutely adore. 21 Pilots. I know you've listened to them before. They actually, just a couple of weeks ago, dropped their first single off of their upcoming album. And I will say a lot of people who are just listening to 21 Pilots, you know, casual listeners, not like super hardcore fans, you're going to be like, this is a good song, but it is weird. What the heck are the lyrics about? And I think I've said this.
Well, to be fair, that's a lot of their songs.
But since the album Trench, which was two albums ago, I think, they have been crafting this lore that their songs are made up of. And so I've really been kind of diving back into that and kind of reliving some of the really cool lore and things like that that they've put into their music. And
no, didn't they have some of that?
So actually, if you go to Spotify, YouTube Music, any music listening app, you will actually see that the albums Vessel, Blurry Face, Trench, Scaled and Icy, those four albums, I feel like I'm missing one, but I don't think I am. Those four albums all have a red piece of tape over the eyes on the cover art. So it's kind of speaking into that lore, because this album that's coming out in May is called Clancy, and it is like the final chapter in this story that they've been telling roughly since Vessel. So yeah, it gets really deep. And if you like stuff like that, you would call those an ARG, an augmented, or no. Yeah, augmented reality game. And that's kind of what it is. There's like hidden ciphers and messages and things like that. And in this most recent track, which is called Overcompensate, they actually reference a song from Trench. Like, they actually sample it. So really nerdy stuff, but I'm just so excited because I love the story. So really weird, not normal topic for geeking out, but you have no idea how many hours I've spent listening.
We say that's what right. We geek out that's about, right?
So yeah, go listen to 21 Pilots' new single Overcompensate. And then when you're like, I don't know what this is about, go all the way back to Vessel and listen to every song, every album, and then get on Reddit, and you'll be blown away with the amount of lore. It's wild.
Dave, when did you first start listening to 21 Pilots?
I started listening to them right around the time Blurry Face came out. I remember hearing the song Stressed Out on the radio, and I like never listened to the radio. I just happened to turn it on my way to work one day, and I was like, yeah, this is kind of catchy, and I've been sucked in to the whole world since then.
Yeah, I think like Stressed Out was like their first big song.
Yeah, but since then, I've listened to every album multiple times. I'm not a fan of their self-titled album. There are hints in that album that they've added and sprinkled into consecutive albums as far as lore goes, which is fun. Yeah, I could get into that. That could be a whole episode.
I think Trench
itself.
Right. I think Trench is the album that I've listened to the most, because that was the album that came out when I saw them live. So like I listened to a lot of those songs in preparation for the show, because Trench came out in 2018. I saw them in 2019. So it was still like fairly new.
Oh, I bet. I've watched a lot of their live stuff, and it looks like they just have a blast. Tyler and Josh seem like really great human beings that I would just like to hang out with for just a day, Don't have to do anything special. You just go watch movies, play some video games, that kind of thing. It'd be cool.
Yeah, Josh, the drummer, he used to be in a band called House of Heroes. And they were like one of my favorite bands ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, they made some really good music. So when I found out he was in 21 Pilots, that's when I actually really started listening to them.
Yeah, they're one of my favorite bands.
Anyway. But
20 minutes later.
Who knew this was going to turn into a music podcast?
That's probably the last thing I would want to start is a music podcast. I listen to a lot of it, but I don't know a lot about it. I try to make music, but
yeah. I feel like no one would want to listen to me talk about like in a music podcast because like when people listen to music podcasts, a lot of them, they want to hear like the intricacies of it, you know, like the little bits and pieces and like, and I'm just there's like, a good I like this.
I mean, that's kind of like what this show is. I like this TV show. It's real good. That's my favorite today. I'm gonna rate Aquaman an 8 out of 10. That was a pretty good dang movie, dang it.
Oh, Dave, I think you should lower that right
now. I ain't going any lower than that. Oh, jeez.
Oh, I think you will by the end of this episode. Just listen.
Just listen
to our previous episode.
Just internally, it's going to hurt me forever. I'm going to always come back to that. But without further ado, let's play that really cool X-Men theme song and start talking about X-Men. Yeah, I'll throw it in there. I'll deal with any kind of copyright claims that come my way. They'll get over it. Yeah, so, like, X-Men, the animated series, came out in 1992. How old were you in 1992, David?
3.
Yeah, I was 5, because I was born in 87. I think that's the math there. Yeah. So I was not, I mean, it ran through 97, but I would have had to really come in on a couple seasons in. So I don't really remember a lot about like the overarching storyline or anything like that, but I remember that theme song. It is cemented in my brain.
Yeah, it's crazy to me thinking that it started in 92 because it was so like I remember it so well. If you would have asked me, it would have, you know, been on like in its first run when I was like a kid and not when I was obviously not watching TV. So there must have been like heavy reruns.
That's
kind
of what
Fox
I was
Kids
thinking. Yep, because that's where I remember watching it too. Did you have a favorite character as a kid? Not to be creepy, but, you know, it was Rogue. It is Rogue.
Not for me. For me, it's always been Gambit because he was just cool.
Yeah. As far as a cool factor goes, yes, Gambit was my favorite as well. I'm making myself look real bad.
Sorry, Dave.
Yeah. Anyway, so I remember my biggest X-Men memory from this era was a Christmas where my cousin and I got X-Men action figures. So my grandparents always had this idea that my cousin and I, because we were boys, I mean, we were a couple of years different, a couple of years different age-wise. My grandma always assumed that she had to get us the same exact toys. And this particular Christmas, I got Cyclops and Sabretooth, I think. And my cousin got Wolverine and I think Gambit, if I'm not mistaken. And they were the big, 11-inch, you know, they don't articulate. I was so mad. Because even at that age, I knew that Wolverine was the coolest.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think about, like, the Wolverine that we know now, like we kind of automatically associate him with Hugh Jackman because he's been playing him for so long, but for so long that like the, you know, the animated show, like tough guy, like, come at me, bub. Like that, that was Wolverine. So which version of Wolverine do you like better, Hugh Jackman or the animated series?
That's tough because they're so different and there's so much to like about both of them. But you're also asking me like to pick. So neither. I like comic book Wolverine.
You can just say I like both.
No, I don't know. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough because they're different, but I know that there are like some like very, my friend Eric Campagno, he is a diehard Wolverine fan, and I think he has always hated Hugh Jackman as Wolverine because, you know, Wolverine's not 6 feet tall and all the, you know, so. Yeah, I like both of them because they're both different flavor, but I think I really like that old school Wolverine is really cemented. Like when I listen or when I read comic books, it's just like Batman. When I read comic books and I read Wolverine's lines, it's that 90s Wolverine animated series voice that I'm hearing.
Yeah, same here. And maybe that's just because it was like my earliest exposure to Wolverine as a character. So that's just sort of what I've always like drawn to. Yeah, I would say Wolverine is, I would say he's probably one of the most important characters from X-Men.
Yeah, he's the Batman of X-Men is how I kind of look at it. He's been in so much and he's got such a great backstory. He's got a great rich history because he's so old, he's been through so much. It makes him a fascinating character. And I think to kind of transition into the show, I do feel like you know, what I remember from the original animated series, they were really trying to do that with all of the characters. Like they wanted all of them to matter. You know, that's my perception. I could be wrong, and I expect people to tell me that. But yeah, I loved seeing, you know, like as a kid, I always liked the dudes, you know, like Gambit, when Nightcrawler shows up, I loved Angel, which I think he was Archangel at the time. So
yeah, they kind of, if I remember correctly, which I might not because it's been a long time since I've seen the show, they kind of retcon him a little bit because like he shows up at first and it's like he's never met the X-Men, but then later, like he's one of the original X-Men, just like he is in the comics. Like they couldn't decide what they wanted to do with him as a character. But his only real big arc in the show was being Archangel and one of the Horseman.
Right. Yeah, I forgot about that. Man. It's been so long and I didn't really watch any kind of recap. I definitely didn't watch all 5 seasons. Really just going off what I remember. I think and I know a lot of people have said this, like we're not going to be the first people, we won't be the last people. But X-Men has always been, for me, it's always been a little hit and miss. Largely because when I was actively reading comics, I wasn't too into the, I don't want to say political, but just like the civil rights parallels. You know, that wasn't something that was top of mind to me, but they've always been about civil rights. And I think that that's, it's really cool. And I think it's really important that 97 is coming out now and they're definitely still sticking to it. I've seen some things online where people are complaining that it's woke and all this other stuff. And I'm just kind of like, yeah, bravo. Like let's do better, you know?
Yeah, I don't know how woke it is. Besides, the only thing I could really see that might be considered like woke is they're really turning like Morph into like a gender fluid character. But that kind of makes sense for
him.
Right. He can. He is like fluid.
I mean, you literally in the first episode of X-Men 97, you literally see him turn into Jean. And you see him turn into Professor Xavier, all within a matter of minutes. So it is what it is.
But besides that, I can't think of anything that's really like woke about it. But maybe that's just me being oblivious.
I do think some of the comments, more some of the funnier comments I've seen around the internet have had to do with Rogue because they've changed her art style. They've slimmed down her rear end because apparently she had quite a butt back in the original series. And so there's a lot of people that after the trailer came out, they're like, what is this? You've ruined the entire show, which I found hilarious because even as a boy, like I had an appreciation for Rogue. I'm not going to be a guy that will be like, oh, I don't know what a beautiful woman looks like. Mm-mm, nope. No, I have an appreciation for that. Even if she's animated, she's a sweetheart. And somebody can change my mind.
I guess for me, if we're talking animated females, it was always Misty from
That's
Pokemon.
Why your mom didn't let you watch Pokemon. Gotcha.
Oh, yeah, probably. And because
that's true.
It was the devil. But,
yeah.
But that's another topic for another
Geek this after hours.
That's... No, geek this counseling edition.
Yeah, we get couples counseling over our pop culture obsessions. That'd be fun. I don't have any notes. I'm really just kind of winging it because that's what we do here. So I don't remember Scott Summers, Cyclops, being such. I'll use a word from a different like creator I heard. I don't remember him being such a square. Like Cyclops was always pretty cool to me. And watching 97 again, I was just like, I don't know if I like him. Like, I get it. You're in charge now, but I don't think I like you much.
I don't know. I guess Cyclops has never been one of my favorite characters. He always kind of had this like kind of bossy
teacher's
like,
pet
feeling to him, like even when he wasn't necessarily the boss, you know. Yeah like just because you're like a team captain doesn't make you the boss.
I didn't play a lot of sports growing up, but that's kind of how I expect all team captains to act. I think the only sport I really played was baseball when I was younger. And I can remember that, you know, the pitcher was the team captain for this one particular team. That kid was just a jerk and I could not stand him. And I assume that that's a good portrayal of Scott Summers for me. I really wish that Wolverine was with Jean.
Yeah. I mean, you got that famous meme online of Wolverine holding the picture, looking all lonely.
Yeah, trying to think. Boy, I don't really know where else to go with this.
So, overall, so do you think you'll keep watching the show on a weekly
basis?
Yeah,
I think I'll keep watching it because it's short enough that, you know, I mean, my kids would watch it with me too if I turned it on. So it's not like a huge commitment.
Ezra watched.
Yeah,
what
do you think about it? I gotta know.
He was kind of like I was having to like point out to him like, okay, this is the good guy and this is the bad guy. she's trying to figure out what exactly was going on.
Fair.
So like when like Sentinels were on screen, I'm like, okay, those are bad guys. And like, oh yeah, those look like bad guys. He seemed to enjoy it. He kind of had this glazed over look on his face, but he was like, by the end of it, he was like able to tell me, okay, that's this character and that's this character. And he was really confused about Magneto because he's like, Magneto seems like a bad guy, but now he's saying that these are his X-Men. So I don't know what's going on there, Daddy. I'm like,
this is the story as old as time. Magneto's good, but then he's bad, but then he's good, and then he's bad, and then he's bad again. That's still pretty observant, though. I think that's cool. Yeah.
For a 3-year-old.
Does he have a favorite character yet? Okay.
Not that he told me. Yeah. I think it might be a little advanced for him. He just kind of happened to be in the room.
Yeah.
When I was watching,
he'd like
it.
Sit him down and be like, I was the same age when this show came out. That's pretty wild. Yeah. But yeah, I think I'd still watch it, like to make it a regular watching just because it's nostalgia. You know, that's appealing to me. I really love that they stuck with a very similar art style, but I saw it somewhere. And somebody said this could very easily just be the sixth season, which was obviously the intent. But it seems like they just kind of picked up where they left off. And art style wise, like, it's pretty flawless. Like, it looks cleaner. It looks a little bit more modern. But I can't figure out if it's all hand-drawn animation, if they're using any other kind of computer animation to make it work. It looks hand-drawn to me.
I'm not sure. Sorry, I'm reading about it right now. You might just make a note, like a timestamp note right here, Dave. So it looks like like it's not hand-drawn, but they just did their best to stylize it the same as the original show.
That's interesting. That's really cool. One of the things that I really enjoyed just watching it, it's one of those things I wish I would have taken time to watch it a couple of times, because I would like to be able to talk about the story a little bit more. But for me, one, I'm watching while I'm working, so I'm not absorbing a lot of story plot kind of things. But it also felt like, again, like it was still some of the old, you know, bad versus good kind of cliche stuff. And I'm sure that there's more going on than that. Mm-hmm. But I loved that at the end of the episodes, they mimicked what you had in the original series, which was like the little character information where they do like the full like 360 rotation of the character and then, you know, explain who they were, what they did kind of thing. And they updated it and it looks wonderful.
I will say that with that part, Ezra did get mad because, like, when they get to the last, like, three characters, they, like, cut it off and just go to, like, a picture of the mansion. And Ezra's like, I was looking at that. Like, as we were going through and I was telling him who each character was so he would know every character's name. So, but then it, like, cuts off when there's, like, 3 or 4 characters left for it to go through. And he's like, hey, like, come on. So I had to rewind it and then, like, pause it and tell him who each of the
I didn't realize that
were.
It did that. That's I'm sorry, Ezra. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna file a lawsuit now with Disney. I'm gonna have to watch that again just so I can see that, because I didn't realize that they did that. I'm working and then I look up and I'm like, oh yeah, this is cool. I watch it for a minute, look down, and then it's over. So that's too funny.
So does watching this want to, like, does it make you want to go back and watch the original show
again? Actually makes me want to go back and watch, like, X-Men, Spider-Man. I feel like there was there another Marvel animated show that came out in the 90s?
There was a Hulk show, but it wasn't that. I think it was like one season. There was an Iron Man show, but I don't know if that one was connected or not.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't even know if technically Spider-Man was connected, but they used the same animation style during the crossover that was on Spider-Man, when there was the big bad with like the chessboard and he had all the characters. Do you remember this?
Maybe. It sounds vaguely familiar. But go ahead. I think I remember this. I'm also looking up some stuff. Yeah, they had a Fantastic Four animated series, but it says 94, and I kind of remember it. But yeah, I kind of just want to go back and watch all these things, which kind of brings me to a topic I wanted to talk about. I'm kind of hoping we get more animated Marvel stuff, because I'll tell you, it's going to make the whole multiverse thing so much easier if we can get a bunch of animated Marvel. Oh, I just had a thought. What if an X-Men have a crossover in season 3 of What If? No?
No. I like What If, but to me, it really needs to stay its own thing. Because they can just get messy quickly. And the MCU, especially since the end of Endgame, has been nothing but kind of messy, especially with how they're treating the multiverse. Like in one movie, the multiverse is one thing, and then another thing, it's something different.
Deadpool's going to fix mine.
They haven't really kept... I think he's going to kill the multiverse. So I'm really interested to see what they do with the multiverse with Deadpool. I know they are using it as sort of like a goodbye to the Fox properties, which I support, because if they didn't, then its farewell would be New Mutants, which was not good.
Definitely. Sorry, I had to throw the what if thing.
and now we're on a different topic. Yeah.
This is what we're getting good at. Really. Here's our topic. Not.
I mean, normally we have sort of a better outline. We kind of planned this episode last minute, so I would apologize, but I'm not really sorry. I'm having a good time.
Isn't that what it's really about? Yeah. So, I mean, overall, I'm really happy with X-Men 97. I want to keep watching it. I really want to go back and watch the old stuff, even though I know it's going to be cringy. There's just that nostalgia, So I'm happy with it. It's one of the best things I've watched since the last time I watched something that was the best thing I watched.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how it goes. I think there's only 10 episodes this season. Maybe once the 10 episodes are up, I'll go back and watch some of the original animated series, maybe in between, because I think they have already announced that they're doing a second season of the new X-Men show. So maybe in between the seasons, I can pick that up and rewatch those. Maybe watch those with Ezra and see what he thinks.
Yeah, it might help him get a little bit more of a handle on what's going on. Or maybe not, because I remember being confused as a kid. I just loved the explosions and Wolverine being grumpy and you know, superpowers. So, who knows?
Do you think that if this is successful, that they will relaunch any of the other shows? Like, do you think we might get a relaunch of the Spider-Man show?
That's a really good question.
Or do you think there's an oversaturation of Spider-Man already?
Yeah, there is a lot of Spider-Man. I would love to see them take it a different route, but I can't really say what properties I'd want them to tackle. Because, you know, we're getting a Fantastic Four movie. I'd be really surprised if they wanted to go and do a Fantastic Four animated series. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what other properties would be good in an animated style. It doesn't have to be this 90s style, but I would love to just see more Marvel animation. There's just so much more that they can do with it than they can do on film, I think.
Yeah, while I've enjoyed What If, I would really like to see them do more animation that's more self-contained and not like multiverse related.
Fair.
So I'm excited to see where this X-Men show goes, and hopefully maybe they'll do something original at some point. But we'll see.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I don't have anything else about X-Men to talk about. I enjoyed it, and that's what we do here. We just geek out. We don't get too deep in the weeds, just brush on the top of it, and then we always want to hear what you guys have to say about whatever it is we're talking about. So did you have anything else you wanted to throw on here?
Nothing I can think of. How long do you think it'll... So, big spoiler alert. So if you haven't watched it, and for some reason you're still listening, just go ahead and shut us off now, because this is like a big spoiler. But at the end of episode 2, Storm loses her powers. Do you think Storm regains her powers by the end of episode 10?
By the end of episode 10? Yeah, I think it'd probably be a 1 or 2 episode arc where she's lost her powers. Because, I don't know, they could reveal that she's the Wakandan princess, you know, like they did in the comics.
Yeah, and that would be interesting, yeah. You know, if they brought in Black Panther.
But yeah, I can't see it lasting for too long, because like right out of the gate and then she loses her powers, it feels weird that for another 8 episodes, that's going to be a struggle. But it's hard to say.
Well, part of me wonders, like, and maybe this isn't the case, but part of me wonders, okay, Storm's voice actress is one of the returning ones from the original show. What if she wasn't super available? So they're like, we're going to take her powers away and she's going to disappear for a little while. I mean, I know it does happen in the comics, so it's convenient to have that storyline, but I don't know, just the things I think about.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that'd be a really tough call, because it seems like, for me...
Then again, if she wasn't available, they probably would have just recast it like they did.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. I think it'll only be a couple of episodes, and I think Magneto's probably going to play a big role in fixing that problem. That would be my guess, because he's, you know, they're his X-Men now.
Yeah, as he said like 5 times, like, right. My X-Men.
Well,
like, okay. Come on now. Let's not try to take...
Yeah, we know how Magneto is. He's pretty full of himself.
Wait, Dave, what what are we going to be talking about in the future?
So people know. Yeah, we have actually been talking about starting our, it used to be called On Film, but we've kind of rebranded it, and it is going to be called, now this is what I call franchising, which is a very long name, but it's perfect. And we are going to be hitting Spider-Man. We just talked about how there's too much Spider-Man. We can't get enough of him. We're going to be jumping back into that. I think we're going to start that off. I think we're going to do it a little kind of similar to the way that we did Batman. So you may see re-released episodes of our Batman On Film series where we watched all of the movies that were current, you know, available up to that point, and then dabbled in the serials. We had a friend of the show, Steve McDonald, on to talk about the old Batman serials. And I don't know, maybe we'll find somebody else to guest for some crazy Spider-Man content. But yeah, we're going to start with the old 2002 Tobey Maguire movie. So get ready for that.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I've been excited for starting. Now, this is franchising, like, since, you know, since that was when we decided to relaunch Geek This. That was one of the things we talked about, because we had initially thought about making it like its own podcast, but then we really wanted to bring Geek This back. So we decided to just
lump it all together. And that's kind of what we're doing with the show, is as we have ideas, they may become reoccurring formats on the show. We're just kind of playing around, and we definitely want to know what you guys like. We want to cater to you guys, but also keep doing stuff that's fun. So the best way to do that.
Or if there's something you don't like, if you're like, never do that again.
Yeah. And the best way to do that is to go over to geekthispodcast.com, and you should be able to comment. If not, shoot an email over to feedback@geekthispodcast.com, and check us out on Facebook and whatever social media platforms you can find us on, usually at Geek This or Geek This Podcast. You know, we want to know what you got to say.
Yeah, and on that note, I think we're going to be wrapping up this episode.
So thanks for listening, and we will talk to you the next time we talk to you.
Bye.
Bye.